Heavenly Father, this morning as we come together as a family of God in this place that we call Emmanuel Lutheran, I pray now as we sing your promises through these hymns and through this liturgy and through our prayers today, now I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts are pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to begin with a reading from our theme this last Lenten season, which began back on Ash Wednesday and continues through today. Fruit of the Spirit has been the theme. Hopefully it's been a blessing to you as it has been to me to look at these scriptures from Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16 through 26. I'll read those one more time.
Speakers, knock it off.
So Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. This section is titled, Keep in Step with the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. But these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this theme, as I said, begins with verse 22, this list of the fruit of the Spirit. And the list begins with a four-letter word, love. Love is the first on the list because it's the place that we begin to walk by the Spirit, where the love of God is bearing its fruit of forgiveness and new life through faith in Jesus. This is the ultimate kind of love, a self-sacrificing, unconditional kind of love. That is, that we deliberately and intentionally devote ourselves to loving our spouses, our family, our friends, our neighbors, as an act of love to God. The fruit of the Spirit grows not by cleaning up our act or by being better than our neighbor, but real growth comes from an awareness, first of all, that we are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit at work in us. The second is confession, confessing, and the third is repentance, repenting of our sin. So this list, as I said, of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all flows out of that one thing that is love. Said over the last few weeks, 40 days actually, one way to understand these fruits of the Spirit is to compare them to a diamond. A diamond has many facets that are cut into it. And as you turn a diamond, each facet of the diamond makes a unique sparkle. No one facet of the diamond is the same. So today on this Easter Sunday, we turn our attention to the last facet of love that we call faithfulness. Whenever we talk about faith, we have to remember that faith is one of those things that cannot stand alone. To say I have faith in something can mean a lot of different things. But for you to say that I have faith in Jesus Christ, that is meaning something different. It means that you put your trust and your confidence in the object of your faith, that thing that you believe in. Faithfulness works in the same way, because faithfulness never stands alone. Faithfulness, as the fruit of the Spirit, refers to being truthful, keeping your word, or being faithful to what you say, because words mean something. And our faithfulness comes from and leads us to the faithfulness of God to us. God is faithful, and He wants us to trust that He is faithful to keep His promises. There's an old saying in the early church that St. Paul refers to in his letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, in this letter he says, "This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." The bottom line is that God is by nature faithful. Dear friends, and God never changes, and neither do the promises that He continues to make and to uphold to His people. And when we start to doubt that, I'm glad you're all here today, because we have a special time in the service where we receive God's security deposit on His faithfulness to us that we call the sacrament. The sacrament guarantees the Holy Spirit shows up in baptism and in His body and blood, the Lord's Supper. These are the assurance of God's faithfulness and His promises to you. Yet, we continue to doubt, don't we? And that's why the lack of confidence and trust, when He asks us to do something and to take the risk that He asks us to take. For instance, in Malachi chapter 3, the Old Testament, verse 10 and 11, God challenges His people to tithe 10% of the income to support the work of His church. And He attaches a promise to this when He says, "Put me to the test. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." This is an example that our giving is a sign of our trust that God is faithful and continues to take care of our needs. However, our reluctance in giving shows that we are not so sure that we can trust Him, that He is faithful to His promises. We believe that He has kept His word regarding His salvation, yet do we trust Him with all of these other things? For Him to provide our daily bread or fund our retirement at the same time. The way we understand the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness is by understanding the very nature of God's faithfulness. The Holy Spirit works in us to restore the image of God that we will one day bear when we are fully restored without sin or blemish. And one aspect of that image is faithfulness. That too will be restored. Martin Luther, in the reference notes of Galatians chapter 5, Martin Luther of the Reformation notes that there is two kinds of faithfulness. There's faithfulness to God, and there's faithfulness to each other. First, we're faithful to God not because we keep our promises to Him, but because we believe and trust that He keeps His promises to us. Second, with our neighbor, our faithfulness depends on how we keep the promises that we make to them, or how we keep our word that we say to them. When we are faithless to God and our neighbor, the Spirit speaks to us in our conscience. We know this verse from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, just as He has promised. And that begins, as I said, with an awareness. It begins with repentance, and it begins with our confession. And as we looked at repentance the last 40 days, we said that repentance, true repentance, is not easy. It is hard and painful. I refer to St. Peter, writes about suffering that we very often experience when we try to be faithful and live according to God's word. The suffering that he talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, not only refers to the suffering that others cause us, but by the pain and suffering that comes from within us as we struggle to resist our old sinful nature and as we strive to live by faith in Christ. But as the Spirit carries out His work of repentance in us, He is also carrying out a work of creating something altogether new that is in us, which is the faith and trust that God and God alone is faithful, and that He's the one that we look to for our faithfulness to our spouses, our family, our friends, and our neighbors. The greatest promise that God ever made was the very first promise that He made. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And notice, the first promise God ever made that's recorded in Scripture was spoken to Satan. Look it up when you get home. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. No sooner do Adam and Eve prove unfaithful to God and to each other, did God make the promise of all promises. That not only affects just Adam and Eve, who are the original sinners, but it also affects all sinners of all times. It's interesting, though, that this promise, as I said, is actually made to Satan himself. Pointing to the woman, God promises the devil. He says, "The offspring of this woman shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God has kept this most wonderful and awesome promise, and He has fulfilled it in Jesus Christ as seed of the woman Eve. He was bruised on the tree of the cross by the Roman soldiers, who hammered nails through His hands and through His feet and plunged the sword into His side. But on the third day, when He rose from the dead, Jesus spiritually crushed Satan's head once and for all. Jesus did exactly what He promised that He said He would do. The good news today is that God has promised and kept His promises to you, that they are all fulfilled in Jesus. He is risen.
He is risen.